we're holding on your dynamite owl off the top line, last word of the line. So to recap, the Mishnah had mentioned a case where somebody declares Nazirus while he's in a basic virus, and the Mishnah had said that in that case he doesn't bring a carbon truma. And that brought us to a machloikas, Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, which we're in the middle of, when somebody declares Nazirus like that in the basic virus, is the Nazirus in fact in effect on them? We discussed, so far we talked about two areas in which that there might be that difference. Number one, where you get malchus for breaking the various aspects of his nazirus, drinking wine or cutting his hair. Maybe not for becoming something. That's fine because he's in there already. That we'll discuss further. And number two, would the original nazirus have even would it be how automatically once he becomes tahor, or would he have to redeclare it? That's where we're up to. Top line of Yedayin and Aleph. Hey, so Rabbi Yochanan asked Rish Lakish another sphere from a Braisa, which says, Ein bein tomei shenazer lenazir tahor shenikma. There's no difference between a tomei who declared Nazirus while he's tomei versus a nazir tahor who then became tomei sometime in the middle of his Nazirus. Ella, the only difference is, tomei shenazer, when a person who's tomei declares Nazirus, shri shaloi oilaloi leminyan, the seventh day of his tara counts as the first day of his Nazirus, because what happens in that case, he's not bringing a korban tara, like we said in our Mishnah. So he gets sprinkled with haradim water the third and the seventh day. The very day that he gets sprinkled with haradim water can already count as the first day of his actual Nazirus. Even though, okay, he's still Tomei, he's still Tzvul Yom, but Tzvul Yom is a weak kind of Tomei. He's not really Tomei Mess anymore. The Nazir Tahor Shenitma, whereas a Nazir Tahor, who then became Tomei in the middle of the Nazirus, who actually has to bring a carbon tumor. Tomei Mess we're talking about, yeah. We're talking specifically about Tomei Mess, yeah. To recap, only certain kinds of Tomei Mess make it that the Nazirus has to be stored at all, that you have to bring carbon tumor and store it all over again. There's certain kinds of tumas mess that don't do that. The Nazirus is suspended for the 7 days that it takes to become tahor from these various tumas, which we'll learn about in the later parakim of the Masechta that Amam holds that all of them are only midrabanan. All the ones that we're going to draw later in the Masechta, we're going to draw a distinction between tumas shan nozim agaleach aleihem and tumas she'enan nozim agaleach aleihem. Tumas that are severe enough that a nazir has to shave his hair and bring his kippah upon his tumah and store it all over, versus tumas that even though he's tummy mess and he does need to be sprinkled with paradrum water, he doesn't have to store, he doesn't shave and he doesn't bring his karbonis and he doesn't start the nazirus over again. The Rambam holds that the distinction is all the ones that the nazir is megaleachan are all tumas deraisa, and all the ones that he's not megaleachan are tumas derabanan. We'll get to that concept later on in the Masechta and the Mems and Nuns. Anyway, for our purposes, yes. So only Tumas Mess causes. So we said actually Tumas Saras also causes the suspension of the Nazirus. Those are the days. We'll talk about that later on as well on other days. That the days of Saras don't count towards the days of Nazirus, but you don't start all. You don't bring Korbanos another Tummy at the end of them. You don't start all over. And other kinds of Tumas like Tumas Keri or Zav or Sheretz or what have you do nothing at all. Nothing happens to your Nazirus with those. Yeah, so when we say whenever we talk about nazir shenitma, unspecified, we mean the kind of tumor that the tumas shan nazim galeach aleihem, the kind where he's actually going to have to shave his hair, bring his three korbanos tumah, and store it all over again. So again, another tomei, then if he declared his nazirus while he's tomei, so okay, his nazirus can't start until he becomes tahor, but it can begin on the seventh day of his tara, the very day that he gets sprinkled with the paradrum water for the second time. Whereas a nazir tahor who becomes tamei in the middle of his nazirus, ein shvi shalai oilel minyan, the seventh day does not count as the beginning of his nazirus again, because in order to begin over his nazirus, he has to bring his korbanos tumah, and he only does that on the eighth day. So he became tamei, let's say, on a Tuesday. So Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So Thursday will be his first day of getting sprinkled. Fourth day is Friday, fifth day is Shabbos, Sunday, Monday, gets sprinkled on Monday. Tuesday, exactly a week since he became Tomei, is when he's going to bring his Korbanos, and then he can start his Nazirus over again. The same way. But if he's not bringing Korbanos, and as in the case where he declared himself a Nazir while he's still Tomei, then on the seventh day, on Monday already, he could start his nizir.
So it does count.
That's the point. V'isakadat leChayla. If you're going to say like your Rish Lakish, you're saying that the nizirus is not chal. Am I early loymin aminyan? Why should that seventh day count? Okay, you're going to say because he redeclared nizirus. Well, then the Braitha shouldn't just say as a blanket statement the seventh day counts. Whatever day he redeclared nizirus, if he waited 3 weeks then to redeclare the nizirus, then it's only going to start then. Okay, so we seem to have schlocked up Rish Lakish. Amar Ma'abar Avashi. So actually, Ma'abar Avashi says you're misunderstanding what Rish Lakish is saying. Necho kolam le'pligi dechayla. When it comes to whether the nizirus is chal or not, everybody agrees that it's chal automatically. But yes, we don't have to have. We were talking yesterday about that according to Rish Lakish, if he declares himself a nazir while he's tameh, the nizirus is not. It's sort of suspended there in the air, or not suspended there in the air. Actually, that's what Rabbi Yechanan said. Right. Rish Lakish says it never takes effect in the first place until he actually redeclares sometime after he's tahor, I'll be a nazir. Nope, now we see that not. Rabashi says, as far as the nizirus being chal, everybody agrees it's chal. Even Rish Lakish would agree with that.
Yes.
That's chal. Yeah. Which means now the Gemara is going to have to go through this whole discussion of Rabbi Yechanan and Rish Lakish again because the various proofs that we brought are, yeah, exactly. Kipligi the milky. The machloikis is specifically about getting malchus. If he drinks wine or cuts his hair, Rabbi Yochanan Sava given the Chayla Laki. So Rabbi Yochanan figures, well,
he
if the
keeping of him office,
yeah,
that's the discussion.
Yeah, during those 7 days when he's still tummy, when he's still getting sprinkled with paradrum water, if during those 7 days he were to drink wine or cut his hair, would he? Become Tommy, he's already Tommy, So what do you get Malchus? Rabbi Yechanan Salva came into Chayla Laki. Rabbi Yechanan says, since the Nizirus is Chal, then he does get Malchus. Actually, Rashi says over here, yes, I feel about Tumah, that he would even get Malchus for Tumah as well. Rish Lakish Tava Loi Laki V'Chayla. Rish Lakish says Itaka doesn't get Malchus during that time, but yes, as soon as he becomes Tahor, automatically it's Chal. So a little different than
what we said
yesterday.
Well, according to
Rish Lakish,
who believes
it's
Chal, but he
says
that
it's Chal, but it's not fully Chal yet. It's a Shrach Chal, right. Yeah.
What?
It's a weak kind of Chal. Given that he's not bringing a carbon Tumah, then they were, yeah. Given that reinterpretation, let's go through the discussion again. Eighth bit of Yechon and Rish Lakish, Rabbi Yechon asks Rish Lakish from our Mishnah, Mishnah Nazir Uber Vesak Maris, if somebody declares Nazirus while he's in a cemetery, I feel the Hoysham Shloshim, even if he's there the entire 30 days, in Erlen Lemon Aminion, it doesn't count, then it may be carbon tumor, and he doesn't bring a carbon tumor, which implies, again, carbon tumor or Delay Maisi, Ham Milky Laki Allah. So he doesn't bring a carbon tumor, but it sounds like he gets malchus for it. Otherwise, the Mishnah should have said he doesn't get malchus. Which again, yesterday we said that Rabbi Yechanan wanted to prove from the Mishnah that we see that the nizirus is chal. Otherwise, the Mishnah should have said that. Now that we established, now according to Ma'abar Avashi, that Rish Lakish also agrees that the nizirus is chal, then rather the question is on the malchus. Which, by the way, the Rosh points out an interesting thing in this. When Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish originally had their machlokas, obviously they knew what their respective positions were. It's only later on that there was this uncertainty of what Rish Lakish actually held, and so we have the first version that we had in the Gemara, and then we have Ma'abar Ravashi's version. Which means that when we said yesterday, Eisvei Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, and he quoted the Mishnah, and pointed out this corollary from it, it wouldn't necessarily be that Rabbi Yochanan actually said those words to Rish Lakish. Because if it was, then Rish Lakish could have answered, that's not what I hold, you're misunderstanding what I'm saying. Therefore, what it has to be is that was the Gemara's paraphrase, what we know Rabbi Yochanan asked Rish Lakish based on our Mishnah. The Gemara's paraphrasing based on that, based on our current understanding in the first stage and the second stage of what Rish Lakish held, then what was the actual point of the question that Rabbi Yochanan was making. Which we find that kind of thing a lot of times in the Gemara. A lot of times when the Gemara will say that a certain Tana or a certain Amara said something, doesn't mean he said exactly these words. It means We're abstracting out. This is the substance of what he said something, which we're understanding from that. We're deducing from that the details of what he actually wanted to ask.
The Gemara wanted to expand, and that's why they.
Yes. In other words, if you had been there in the Bismedrash, you might have preferred, for example, Rabbi Yochanan might have just quoted the Mishnah to Rish Lakish, without specifying what exactly his question is, and therefore the first time around, the Gemara assumes that his question was, you say it's not chal, but from the Mishnah it seems it's chal, and the second time it would have been, you say he doesn't get malchus, but from the Mishnah it seems he does. So the answer is, Rish Lakish could answer, but didn't you listen to the answer?
But it doesn't say
okay, yeah. So the din who delisni ain't a loifer. Yes, indeed, it could have said that he doesn't get malchus. Ela mishum de kaboy la misna sefer. But the reason why the Mishnah said it this way is again for parallelism. The sefer needs to say yotzev a nichnas ola loy min aminyan. That if he goes out of the Beis HaKvaros and goes through his whole tara and then goes back in, then those days do count. Or maybe korban truma, and he has to bring korban truma and start all over again. So for parallelism, since the Sefer has to mention about bringing a carbon tumor, so the first part also mentions, but not getting into Malchus or not. Not getting into Malchus or not, because according to Rabbi Yochanan, either way you'd get Malchus.
And according to
Rish Lakish, okay, Yitaka wouldn't get Malchus in the first case, but the Mishnah can't use that, they can't use that for parallelism. The second time, there'd be no reason to say you get Malchus, it's pretty obvious, so therefore the Mishnah focuses on the carbon tumor. Tashma, come, let's try to prove from a Braisa, the Braisa that we just quoted before. Ein bein tomei she nazar le nazar tar she nitma. There's no difference between a tomei who declared himself a nazar while he's tomei and a nazar tar who became tomei. Ela she tomei she nazar shvi she loy min aminyan. The difference is that if he declared Nazirus while he's Tomei, then the seventh day, the last day he gets sprinkled with part of Adama water, counts as the first day of his Nazirus, like we said before. Another Tahor who became Tomei, the seventh day does not count because he has to wait till the eighth day when he brings his Korbanos Tumah, which seems to imply Holomachus Zevez Eshobin. Now, since the Braisa is saying Ein Bein, and in general, the rule is when a Mishnah or a Braisa mentions two different cases and says ein bein this and that, it means that that's the only difference between them. Other than that, they're identical. Ein bein ella such and such means that's the one thing. So if the case of a tomei shenazer, if he doesn't get malchus like Yehuda Schlocker said, then you have a second difference. The fact that it's not saying that, the fact that it seems to be implying that both of them get malchus if they drink wine or whatever during that week, implies like Rabbi Yochanan. And again, you know, if it was the kind of thing, for example, that the Braisa was giving a list, then we would say the usual thing, Pun of a Shire, that he left out. He mentions some things and leaves out some part of the list. But here, Ein Bein, Ella, means on the contrary, it can only be limited to that one list. It can only be limited to that one thing, yeah. Amalei, so Rabbi Rish Lakish tells him, no. Actually, what the Braisa means to imply is, look, the Tiglachas is ever there, Shavin. As far as a haircut, both of them are alike. Now, what does that mean, a haircut? So Tosfos brings two possibilities. One is that the Braisa means to say that he would get malchus for shaving his hair or during that time. But then Tosfos says, wait a minute, then just as well say as far as tiglachas and as far as wine, and then why you're leaving out wine as if to imply that there's only that difference with hair, but yeah. So therefore Tosfos prefers the other explanation that it means that as far as the fact that both cases, they're both going to have to cut their hair on the seventh day. Now later on, actually, on Omid Beis, the Gemara is going to start a whole discussion on that question. A Tomei who declared Nazirus, we said in the Mishnah he doesn't bring Karbonos, but does he still shave his hair before he actually starts his Nazirus proper after he becomes Tahor or not? But at this point the Gemara says, okay, eventually we're going to slog up Rish Lakish anyway, but so the Gemara doesn't bother getting into the details of that, but we could say that when he says, hold it to Glachas, Zev is a Shavin, that Rish Lakish might answer, yes, it means both of them are in fact going to have to cut their hair. They are alike in that.
It's not only one, it's also...
So not that he would get Malchus for cutting his hair, because the whole point of Rish Lakish is he's saying that a Tomish and Nazar does not get malchus for cutting his hair or drinking wine.
Right.
But rather, when the Braisa says ain vain, this one and that one, Ella, that one of them the seventh day counts towards the Nazirus and the other one it doesn't. So what is the Braisa trying to imply? What do they have in common? Both of them have to cut their hair before their actual Nazirus starts. The Tomation Nazar, when he finishes his getting sprinkled with Hor Adam water, at that point he'll cut his hair. He won't bring Kobana Soma, the Mishnah said so. But he will cut his hair in order that his Nazirus starts with Tahar hair, basically. And if he was a regular Nazir who became Tomei in the middle, same idea. On the seventh day he gets finished being sprinkled, the eighth day he shaves, he brings his Kobana Soma, and starts over again. So both of them are having to shave before their Nazirus starts again. Yeah. So the question is what? Avalinim Malkus Mai. So what are you telling me then? What are you telling me then, Rish Lakish? That as far as Malkus, Zeloika Vzeinaloika, that in fact that one of them would get Malkus and the other one would not during that week. One of them, the Tomei Shenazar is not going to get Malkus for drinking wine, but the Nazir Tahar Shenitma is. Well, in that case, listen, so in that case, the Braisa should list it. You still have, after all, again, Ein Bein Ella implies there's only one difference, the one that it lists. But you're telling me there's another difference.
Which is
about Malkus.
No, the only one that Braisa lists.
The only one that Braisa lists is the business about the seventh versus the eighth day. The answer is patakante kamayri, because you could say the Braisa is talking about how he fixes things up. How does he restart his Nazirus? The Tomei Shenazar will start it on the seventh day, the Nazir Tahar Shenitma will start it on the eighth day.
That's irrelevant.
Irrelevant, the Braisa is not getting into the question of what happens if he messes up, if he goes and does something that's going to be chayav malchus. In other words, the point is, Tosfos says we have to be talking about that. We have to be talking about that he did it. That he did it amazing. There's no difference. We're not saying, for example, one of them is also to become Tomei. One of them is also to become Tomei, and one of them is allowed to become Tomei. So what if we wanted to mention Malkus? It would imply right. Right, it would imply he's doing it b'mezid, which each one of them has the same issur to become Tomei. But b'kukula like Amari, we're not talking about what happens if he violates that. Yes, it's true. Rish Lakish would say there is a difference between that. In the one case, if he violates it and becomes Tomei, he is chayav malchus, and in the other case, not. But we're not getting into that. The Braisa, when it says ein bein this and that, we're not getting into that type of discussion. We're talking about ein bein this one and that one. Ella, what's the difference between them as far as when they actually begin their Nazirus? One begins it on the seventh day, one begins it on the eighth day.
We're not alluding to one is Shogeg and one is Mezid.
We're not, well, obviously it can't be one Shogeg and one Mezid.
Right.
It has to be talking about both of them are Mezid, right. Yeah.
We're not getting into that.
Meaning, in other words, there might well be other distinctions between the Tomei Shenazar and the Nazir Tahar Shenitma, but the Braisa is not dealing with that. The distinction that Rish Lakish is making. One of them will be Chayav Malkus, who will be coming Tomei, and the other one will not. But sometimes you have. Sometimes the Gemara will answer that a Mishnah or a Braisa, when it's listing distinctions between one thing and another, it's focusing on one area of the halacha. It's focusing on the area, how does each one of them begin, what's the right thing that each one of them has to do? We're not talking about how each one of them could mess up and do the wrong thing. That, yes, there might be a difference in that. We're not getting into that. Toshma, so Rish Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan tries another contradiction to Rish Lakish. Mishaya Tomei ben Nazar, a Braisa says that a Tomei who declares Nazirus, also Lishkigalayach Lishkit Yain, he's not allowed to shave his hair, he's not allowed to drink wine. The Im Gilach Vishosa Yain, if he cuts his hair or drinks wine or becomes Tomei Mes, during that time, when he's Tomei, how does it say because that boy? And then he gets 40 Malkus, 39 Malkus. So there you go. Then obviously he does get Malkus. Okay, that slugs up Rish Lakish, and we're left with Rabbi Yochanan and Shita. That not only so we said in the end, according to Ma'abir Rabashi, everybody agrees in Nazirus is chal, and given going according to Rabbi Yochanan, and also a person would get Malkus. So,
would not have been talking about Malkus because in either case he would.
Yeah. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan would understand, but I think more straightforwardly.
So then Rishlakish was talking about...
So then Rishlakish. We like the Gemara. The Gemara has a hard time saying that an Amora should be shlugged up based on Mishnah, because Amoraim were expected to know all the Mishnahs. They weren't expected to know all the Braises. So yes, all of a sudden we brought in a Braise over here. Fine, an Amora like Rish Lakish can't contradict the Braise, so therefore we shlug him up. But it's not. He didn't do anything wrong, basically. He might not have known that Braise to begin with. Once that Braise was brought in, that's it. You know, game over. Boy, Rava. So now Rava asks a question on this whole business about a person who was in a cemetery when he declares Naziris. Nazir who beveis akvaris. So Nazir, like a case of our Mishnah, where he becomes a Nazir, he says he's a Nazir while he's in the beveis akvaris. And we establish now that both according to Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, the Naziris is in effect right away. Okay, according to Rish Lakish, we would say that he doesn't get Malchus, but we slugged him up. According to Rabbi Yochanan, he even gets Malchus. Mahu. So now, what's the din? How long he needs to be there in order to be chayav malchus? Does he need to be there a certain amount of time to be chayav malchus or not? Now, why would we think he needs a certain amount of time? So in Shavuos, the Gemara had in Masechta Shavuos, the Gemara has a discussion about a somewhat similar topic, which is a person who becomes tamei in the Beis Hamikdash. You're not allowed to go into the Beis Hamikdash when you're Tomei. What if a person somehow became Tomei in the Beis Hamikdash? A sheriff touched him, let's say he became a Zohar. Yeah, the sheriff's running around there, and all of a sudden a drop dead at his feet. So, you know what happens? It can happen, right? Okay. Obviously, I mean, it was bonus. You obviously can't give him Malchus for that. But the din is, Halacha Moshe Mitzvah, if he goes out as fast as possible, then he's good. But if he stays for any amount of time, for a certain amount of time, rather, then he will be Chayav Malchus. That amount of time, the Gemara explains over there, is long enough to be able to bow. The Gemara actually quotes this, to bow down on the floor to the Eidoshev. There's Shira Shachavoya. Bowing means more than just getting down on your knees. It means prostrating yourself on the ground. But you know, it takes a whatever. The Gemara actually quotes there in that connection of pasuk and Dibra Yomim that mentions that the Chanukah Abayis after Shlomo said his whole long tefillah, how a fire came down on Mizbeach and everybody fell down and prostrated themselves on the ground and said Hodu Lashem Titov Kilelam Chasda. The amount of time it takes to say that pasuk is the Shir Yishtachavaya. So if a person were to stay in the Beis Hamikdash that amount of time without trying, so you have to be, you're running out as fast as possible, basically. If you go a longer way than if you go, I'm not the shortest possible way, you stay there that amount of time, whatever, then yeah, you're Chayav Malchus or even Karis. So the question is, in our case over here, does the same kind of thing apply? Do you say he made himself a Nazir while he's in a Beis HaKvaris? Maybe you should say the moment he declared himself a Nazir, immediately he's Chayav Malchus, or maybe not. Maybe you need the Shira Shachavaya or something like that in order for him to be Chayav. So the Gemara asks, Hei Chidomi, what exactly is the situation over here? If we're talking about that before he ever said that he's a Nazir, people saw that he's about to, and they warned him, don't declare yourself a Nazir, you're in the basic Kvaris, if you do, you're going to be Chayav Malchus. Lamali Shehiyah, well then what do you need Shehiyah for? As soon as they warned him, and he went and said, he went against them and said, I don't care, I'm becoming a Nazir, of course he should be Chayav Malchus. What's the question? My time alay boy Shahia. Why should he not need any amount of time? The Kamasribe, because they warned him. Hachanami Kamasribe, the same thing over here. They warned him. Which, by the way, Tosfos gets into the discussion over here how this works given the matter of Lav Shein Bemaiseh. We know a general rule, you don't get Malchus for Lav Shein Bemaiseh. And usually, there are cases in halacha where we say akim chasam ha'maisa. Usually, you don't get malchus for.
There is a maisa.
What's the maisa over here? He just said I'm a nazir. But that's the point. The Gemara is saying over here that if they warned him before he became a nazir, then he doesn't. Then he shouldn't need any waiting. Then he should be chayav malchus right away. So what did he do? All he said was, I'm a Nazir. So, okay, sometimes the Gemara says, I came a spot of having Maisa, that the declaration itself is a Maisa, but usually we don't say that. Usually we say that a Lav Shein Maisa can also involve speech. there's a couple of possibilities over here. One possibility is our Gemara could be going according to the opinion that Lab Shem and Maisi do get Malkus. It's a Machlokus in Makkus and in a couple of other places.
We saw it.
We've definitely had it before. Yeah, I think. The other possibility is that some Mepharshim discuss, actually the Magen Mishnah discusses it on the Rambam and others, that if you have something, if you have a lav which you're able to be over on it with a Maisa, then you can be higher for it even if in this particular instance you did it without a Maisa. What do we mean lav shein b'maisa in Loikin Olav? Means that it's never possible for this lav to happen with some kind of action. Classic case would be leaving over meat from a carbon. No, sir. There's nothing you can do to make that meat be left over. Midnight comes, chatzos, or whatever it is comes, automatically it's noiser without any action on your part. Here, the normal thing is that in order to becoming tameh involves a mice, it involves him walking into the Beis HaKvaros, and therefore it's possible to get malchus for that. So even if in this particular circumstance he didn't do anything, he was just standing in a Beis HaKvaros and then becomes another, you could still say that he gets malchus for it. It's not considered because it's a lab where a maisa is possible in other circumstances. Yeah.
The maisa that happens whether or not he.
Well, but in this case, there's no maisa. It's the kind of lab that could involve a maisa under other circumstances. Ella, so no. Let's say then that Robert's question is as follows. You mentioned Nichnas Beshita Tevo Mingdol. Suppose the person went into the Beis HaKvaros originally inside a box. Shita Tevo Mingdol are different kinds of containers. So he was carried in a box, so therefore he's not Tomei. He's not Tomei yet because the box is closed.
In the Beis HaKvaros.
And then his friend went and opened up the plaster. On top of him, or on bottom of him, whatever it is, and therefore the Tumah is able to come in. So now, when he went in, originally it was Beheter, because he was inside a box. So now when he's inside the box, and Tosfos says the case is, it has to be that his friend did it by onus. It's not that he himself broke open the box, or he told his friend to break it, because then also there'd be no reason to think that you need any amount of time for him to be Tomei. It was with his will. But like this, when it was Ba'onis, it's again, it would be similar to the case of a person who's standing there in the Bismarck, and all of a sudden he becomes Tomei Ba'onis.
When you open the box, like you see Kohanim going to the OL, they're surrounded by a get to carry it. It's not in a box. Still they're not.
No, but I mean, for example, you could have, let's say, that for, I mean, one simple example, you could have that he's right on top of one of the kvarim, and then the bottom of the box is broken open, you know. But it depends. I mean, the whole the details of how truma can go in and out of structures can be and Caleb and whatnot can be pretty complicated. But there are enough cases. I mean, it could also be within four amas of the kvarim. Yeah, there's various situations. Anyway. So now the question is, Ki Gemirin Shehiyah B'Beis HaMikdash. So when we have the halachah of Moshe Mitzinai about that you have to be there for a certain amount of time in order to be chayev, maybe that only applies in the Beis HaMikdash. Aval Abroi Loi, but maybe not outside the Beis HaMikdash. So maybe here you don't need any Shehiyah at all. Since as soon as they warned him, get out, then even if he wasn't there, Kedei Shehiyah, maybe he's chayev Malkus. Adum Aloi Shnar, maybe there's no difference. If in the Beis HaMikdash you need Kedei Shnachavoya, then here also. And the answer is Tekel. Avroi means outside of this Mikdash. Tekel. So what does that mean? So the Rambam actually mentions this halacha in two different prakim in Hilchos Nazirus. In one of them, he says that if you went in as a Nazir into the Beis HaKvaros in a Shita Tevo Migdol, and then the box was broken open, then you immediately chayav Malkus.
That was a
mistake. What?
The Tekel was broken open.
No, but In the first circumstance, you were already a nazir, and then they carried you in a box, and then the box was broken open. So then,
by mistake
or whatever, So then the Rambam says you chayav malchus right away. On the other hand, if the case that we're talking about over here, you weren't yet a nazir, you were inside the Beis HaKvaros in a box, you declared yourself a nazir, and then you, and then in the box, and then somebody broke open the box, Being already in the basic Svaris, but that's first where you're declaring yourself a Belzer. Well, it does make a difference. But I'm saying that actually in that case, we say if I remember correctly, actually, the Rambam says you won't even be Chayav Malkus even if you stay there longer than Shir Ishtahavoya.
You declare your Naziris
inside the box, in the basic verse. You know what, you want to do me a favor and give me the Rambam Hafla over there? Let me look it up inside.
Actually, it's worse in a way to make it.
On the right, over there, yeah. So the shelf below that, actually, you have the Rambam Hafla. Thanks. Yeah, so let's actually see. Okay, so in Perek Hei he says as follows. Another went into an oyolam, actually the oyolam nasty says, into a house where there's a dead body, in a shidatei bo-megel, and somebody else went and opened up a box, the Rambam says midaitai, that he did it with the nazir's consent. Then the Nazir actually gets double malchus. Number one, because the Pasuk says he's not allowed to come into a place of Tumah. And number two, he's not allowed to become Tumah. Here, both of those things happen at the same time. The coming in and the becoming Tumah happen at the same time. As opposed to, if he just walked in normally, then he becomes Tumah as soon as his nose or his fingers or whatever, his toes or whatever goes in first. As soon as those come in, he becomes Tumah. And Bia only happens when he's completely in. So then he'd only get one malchus. That's the first case. Then the other case is that I'm not described, similar to based on our Gemara over here, that if he went into the basic forest and a shita table migdo and somebody opened up the box, then even if he was there, even though he was there a longer time, he doesn't get malchus, but he gets malchus madras. He gets malchus midrabanan for staying there if he stays there longer, if he stays there today shakavaya. So, in fact, the Ravid disagrees with it. The Ravid says, after all, the Gemara is just asking whether he gets Malkus immediately or only after Shir Shachavoyah, but for sure if he stays there Shir Shachavoyah, he can get Malkus. So all the Mephoroshim have a field day with it, of course. The Kesef Mishnah, in fact, says maybe the Rambam understands our Gemara to be saying like this, basically. Do we say that Shahida is relevant to our case or not? We were understanding the Gemara to say, you need nothing or you need Kadesh Shahida, but maybe you can understand differently. The Rambam might understand that maybe Shahida only applies in the Beis Hamikdash. Outside the Beis Hamikdash, there's no concept Shahida, not Shahida. No matter how long you're there, given that you went in there beheter and somebody opened it up for pashtus against your will. Then no matter how long you stayed there, you didn't do anything. You can't be high malchus midaraisa.
So the point is, the Rambam doesn't say that there's no shehiyah outside the Beis Hamikdash, and why does in both cases the Beis Hamikdash one gives malchus and the other one doesn't give malchus?
Because the previous case, the other guy did it midaita. The other guy did it with.
Both has to do with midaita.
No.
If he knew that he was in a box and he was going to Beis Hamikdash.
No, but the midaita is that they opened up the box.
Yeah, but he went in the box to begin with, in both cases.
Okay, but that's it. Just going into the box. Going, first of all, not necessarily, but okay, but that's not the point. Not necessarily to go in there with his consent, whatever, that's not the point. The point is that the point okay, still is that being in the box in and of itself, and being in and of is not in and of itself something that's also came as another. Even the box. The box being carried into a basic harvest already, right? But
that should be sufficient to get malchus. And apparently it's not, according to the Rambam. In one case he gets, in one case he doesn't. What? Why?
No, so that's so the difference is basically because in the one case he was what do you call it? The other guy opened up the box to be daitai, and in this case it wasn't be daitai.
Opening. But that's two
no, that's before. No, but when he was in the sealed box, there was no issue yet. As soon as the box is open, midaitai, he's immediately over on lo yavai v'lo yitamei.
What does
lo yavai? No, lo yavai doesn't mean inside a sealed box. Lo yavai means don't go into it.
Whether the box is sealed or not.
No, if the box is sealed, it's not lo yavai. No, otherwise he wouldn't have gotten Malchus even if the box was closed. Otherwise he would have gotten Malchus even if the box was closed.
The box being sealed is not considered
Lo Yavah. No, how is it Yavah? He's not in the Oil Mass. No, but he's not. But he's not in a place of Truma.
He's separate.
He's in a separate. Yeah.
Separate from the Truma, but he's still in
the. Whatever. That doesn't matter. The fact that he's not. The fact that he's not subject to the Truma is not. Yes. Anyway, there is also they discuss a lot else. The Gemara also discusses this question. In Shavuot, and also comes out with Teiku over there. So one of the Mefarshim here on the Rambam, the Lachem Mishnah, I think, says that that might be another distinction why the Rambam paskins the differently in the two cases, because he feels that our case over here is talking about one situation, not like Tosfos is talking about over here that it was Ba'onis, but maybe over here it was Berotzin and there it was Ba'onis, or. When a person declares Nazirus while he's in the cemetery, does he, before his Nazirus actually properly starts, or after the 7 days of the Tara, does he have to shave first or not? Question is, do we say that who needs Tiglachas is only a Tahar who became Tameh to come a Tameh l'Nazirus, say, because then the hair that he already started growing for his Nazirus became Tameh? Aval Tomei Shin Nazar Loi, but if he was already Tomei when he declared Nazirus, then not. I do Malo Shino, maybe it doesn't make a difference. So maybe we would say, even though granted our Mishnah said that he doesn't bring a korban, but maybe he still has to cut his hair before he starts off. Toshma, Mishin Nazar Vobra Besakwara, so let's see, our Mishnah says somebody declares Nazirus while he's in a cemetery. I feel the Hayashim Shloshim, I mean, he's there 30 days. Ain't Ola Loman Aminian, those days don't count towards the Nazirus. The Ain't made the carbon tumor, and he doesn't have to bring carbon tumor, which seems to imply carbon tumor or delay mice. It seems to imply, fine, he doesn't bring the carbon tumor because the Pasuk excludes him from that. But Lahura, it sounds like he still has to shave. My answer is not necessary. By implication, yeah. The answer is not necessarily what the Mishnah could mean. Matam, comma, the Pasuk could be, not the Pasuk, the Mishnah could be saying the reason. Matam, ene maybe carbon tumor, why is it that he does not bring a carbon tumor? Mishum, because there's no shaving. The shaving and the carbon tumor are two stages of the same process. So if you're not having to do one, then automatically you're not doing the other. There's not necessarily is the Mishnah saying that you're doing one but not the other. It could mean you don't have to do one, therefore you don't have to do the other. Tashma, and again, the Braita that we've quoted already a couple of times, Ein Bein Tomei Shin Nazar L'Nazir Tahar Shin Itma. There's no difference between a Tomei who declared Nazirus versus a Nazir Tahar who becomes Tomei. Ela Tomei Shin Nazar Shvi Shala Erlem Aminyan, except we said that a Tomei who makes Nazirus, then his seventh day already counts as the first day of Nazirus, but Nazir Tahar Shin Itma and Shvi Shala Erlem Aminyan, whereas a Nazir Tahar Shin Itma, then the seventh day does not count, because he has to bring his Korbanos on the eighth day. Again, it was saying there's no difference between this and this. My love, all the tigachas, never they're shoving. L'chore, it means that they're both similar as far as that they both have to get their hair cut. And the answer is loy, not necessarily. The Braitha might mean all the malchus, never they're shoving. It could mean that they're both the same as far as getting malchus. We slugged up Rish Lakish before, so we were left with Rabbi Yefim and Savara, that either way, you chayev malchus for drinking wine or cutting your hair or becoming Tomei the Master in that time. So yes, the Braitha, when it says ain't been this and that, it could mean, but there is a similarity between them. So what are you going to tell me then when it comes to shaving? That what you're going to tell me? There's also that distinction that one has to cut his hair before he starts and the other one doesn't. Listen to it. Then the Braitha should say it. So before we use that argument against Rish Lakish, fine, we wanted to say there's a difference. The Braitha is telling us the positive things that he has to do, not what could happen if he does the negative. Here, this is part of the positive, according if we say he has to cut his hair.
And it should be listed.
The answer is no. Tana Shvi Shaloi V'chol Mili. No, because we could say that when the Braitha says that one begins on the seventh and the one begins on the eighth, he means the seventh as well as everything else that has to go along with it. Meaning, in other words, that, yeah, when it comes to another Tahar Shenitma, then the stages of the process include that on the seventh day he gets finished bringing sprinkles or adam water, on the eighth day he cuts his hair, and on that day he also brings his karbanos. With the Tomei Shin Nazar, we're saying all he has to do is the seventh day stuff, just be sprinkled with paradigm water. But we could understand it either way. We could say that the Braisa is telling us that on the seventh day, that he has to do something on the seventh day, which we know is being sprinkled with hot adam water, as well as something else, having his hair cut. Or it could mean, no, he only has to be sprinkled and nothing else. The Braisa is not just getting into what's done on the seventh versus what's done on the eighth. It's not necessarily listing all the things that might have to be done on the seventh. Rather to say it the way Tosfos says is, given that the Braisa is saying that the seventh day already counts as a Zeruz, what does that mean? Why is that? Because he's not bringing a carbon. Because the carbon would have to be an eighth day. Well, again, if he's not bringing a carbon, then automatically, then we could say it means there's no shaving with it. But not necessarily. Maybe the shaving and the carbon are decoupled from each other, so maybe he does have to. But you can't prove it one way or the other from the Braisa.
Because we don't know if it's coupled or not.
Because we don't know, right. Yeah.
If we knew, then we could prove
that. Right. Toshma, come, let's try to prove from a Braisa. The Braisa is discussing the idea that we touched on before, that when somebody becomes a Metzora during the time of his Nazirus, that his Nazirus is suspended until he becomes Tahar from the Tzaras. Now, we know with the Metzora, there's two stages. There's, with a typical Metzora anyway, you have the period of time when he's not definitively a Masurda yet, the Yemehesker. So, you know, he has a spot on his skin that doesn't yet have white hair or michya or what have you in it, and therefore the Kohen has to lock him up in a house for a week and then observe him at the end of the week. So those are Yemehesker. And then you have Yemehechlet. Then you have the period after the Kohen declares you're definitively a Masurda. You have to go outside the city and tear your clothes and so on and so forth.
That could be a while.
And that could be a while, yeah. In the case of Uzziahu HaMelech, for example, with the rest of his life, yeah.
That's what?
That's why he was a Masurda, yeah. Anyway, so the Braisa says, "Ein li ela yemeis from Osir Shein Erlin Lemin Aminyan." So, based on the Pasuk tells us that if a Nazir becomes Tomei with Tumas Nes, then those days don't count towards the Nazirus. We would only know that from the Pasuk. You may Chalut Eminai, and how would we know the same thing applies also to the days of when he's Chalut, the days when he's definitively a Masurda, the days when the time when he has to be outside the city, etc. How do we know that also doesn't count towards the Nazirus? Which, again, you know, as a practical matter, it means, you know, he declared Nazirus 30 days. 10 days into it, he becomes a Masurda. Let's say, to keep things simple, he becomes a Masurda Mukhlat right away. He comes to the Kohen already with Saras with two white hairs in it. And the Kohen immediately tells him, Yatame, go leave the city. He remains a Masurda, let's say, for, you know, the Saras lasts, let's say, 5 days. So those 5 days, at the end, after he becomes, actually, the 7 days after that he counts towards the Tahara don't count either. We'll talk about that later in the Masechta. But whatever. At the end of all of that, he doesn't lose any of the days he counted. He doesn't lose the 10 days he counted so far, but still, he's going to have to resume the remaining 20 days only after all of that is done. So how do we know that? The Dinu, the Braisa says, because we can make a Kavah Chomer. Not really a Kavah Chomer, actually. The Dinu here is more Ma Masinu, a comparison. Just like when it comes to Yimei Tumah, of Tumah Mes, that is, you have to shave at the end of it and bring a carbon. After Yimei Chalutah, Megaleach HaMei B'Korban, at the end of the Chalutah, of the Yimei Chalutah also, you have to shave his hair. The Pasuk mentions by Mitzvah also that he shaves all his hair and brings the carbon. Therefore, Ma Yimei Tumah Mes, Lemon Aminion, so therefore, just like the Yimei Tumah don't count, and he has to start at the Zirus over, after Yimei Chalutah, you know, Lemon Aminion, so the Yimei Chalutah don't count either. In that case, the Braisa asks Loi, not necessarily. You could argue, Im Amarti be made Tumah. So you could argue that you made Tumah are more serious. You made Tumah of Tumas Nes, that is. Shekem Mevatalba, and it's a Koidman, because you lose all the days you counted so far. In the scenario we said, not just you would have to count 20 days after you finish, you have to count 30 days after you finish, because it's start all over again.
Why lose 10 days
before? Because if you become Tumah Nes, 10 days into the Torah, into the Nazirus. Then after you become Torah, you have to start all over again. You lose those 10 days. You're supposed to those 10 days. So you could argue maybe that's why it's more serious. Therefore, you would say that the days of Tumah themselves don't count. How can you compare that to Tzaras? Tzaras doesn't make you lose the previous days. You should argue therefore that maybe you made Tzaras are not as serious. maybe you shouldn't lose. Because you made Saras would include both the Hesker and the Heflet. Hesker, the time when you're locked up in the room, as well as Mukhlet. Mukhlet means like definitive, definite. So you make Chalutah are the days when a person is definitely a Metzora. As opposed to you may Hesker are the days when it's uncertain. Is he going to turn out to be a real Metzora? Or is it no white hair is ever going to grow in it or anything? And therefore, after 2 weeks, the Kohen declares him Tahar and that's that. So you could argue you made tumah comes to tenth. You made tumah more serious. The fact that you lose your previous days of nazirus. You make chalutah, you don't lose your previous days. So maybe you make chalutah, maybe those days themselves should count. In our scenario, you're 10 days of nazirus, 5 days let's say of saras, 7 days of tara. Maybe all those 12 days should count, and now you only need to do 8 more days. Now, Tosfos and the Rosh ask over here. So why doesn't the Braisa answer right back? Well, Adarabba, then if you're comparing the two of them, if you're trying to compare Yimei Hechlus and then Taka say maybe you should lose all the previous days with Yimei Hechlus also. How do you Taka know not? And the answer is because later on in the Masechta the Gemara is going to bring a proof from a pasuk that you only lose days because of Tumas Mes. You don't lose too much. The point is, actually, what it is later on, the Gemara discusses you don't lose days because of having your hair cut in the middle. The logic why we would say, why we would think to say that a Masoda, why you lose and have to start all over, would be because you had to have your hair cut. But since we learn from the Pasuk over there that only in the case of Tumas Nes do you lose the days by Yom HaMarishon and Yiflu, therefore, we see from that the Taka doesn't apply to Saras. Given that difference, then therefore, given that known difference between them, that you made Tumah, you lose the previous days, and you made Chalutah, you don't lose the previous days, then Adrava, maybe we should say, you made Tumah, don't count towards the Nazirus at all, but you made Chalutah, maybe do count, and you only have to finish off the remaining days afterwards, rather than having to, yeah. No. Omarja, so no, you can figure it like this. Uman Nazir v'kever, if you consider the case of our Mishnah, a person who declared Nazirus while he's in a cemetery, Shasire Roy Lisiglachat, during that time his hair is able to be cut. And yet in Erlan Leminamin, and yet those days don't count towards the term of Nazirus. And after he leaves the Beit HaKvaros and becomes Tahor, we said only then does he start his Nazirus. Yemei Chalutah, Shein Roy Lisiglachat. So during the time when he's a confirmed Mitzurda, when he's a definite Mitzurda, where those days are not suitable for hair cutting, because you have to wait until the end to get his hair cut for the end of Sarah, like Kol Shekein Chain Oil and Lemon Aminia. How much more so that don't count? So now, thus far the Braisa. Now let's analyze it. My love to Glachas Tumah. When the Braisa says that, when the Braisa is talking about that this hair is not suitable for Glachas, what does it mean? L'chura, let's assume that it means Glachas Tumah. That this hair is not going to be cut as the cutting of the hair that's done by another Tumah. Namely, in the case of the Mitzorah, obviously not. He's getting his hair cut not having anything to do with Nazirus, but having to do with Saras. So therefore, the comparison would be that the Nazir, the person who became a Nazir while he's still in the Beis HaKvaros, when we said Shesire Roy L'Tiglachas, we said that his hair is going to be cut. L'chora, that means Tiglachas Tumah. So there you go then. You see he does have to cut his hair before he starts his Nazirus. So that would answer the question. And that now we would understand what the Braisa is saying. Madach the Nazir b'kever, that his hair is going to be cut for Tiglachas Tumah, and yet those days don't count. How much more so a Nazir, how much more so a Metzora, where the hair is b'chlal not being cut for anything having to do with Nazirus, how much more so than those days don't count? And the answer is loy, no. The Braisa could mean Tiglachas Tara. Then no, what it means is that that this hair is not going to be cut for Tiglachas Tara. On the contrary, you would say that the Nazir Bekever, maybe one second. So the Nozir Bekever, we say Sire Rory Lutiglachas, that we would say he has to take a haircut before he starts his Nizirus. So now we're saying no, Tiglachas Tara, we would say Adraba, that his, when we say his hair is Rory Lutiglachas Tara, Adraba, it means this hair that's on his head now, while he's in the basic forest, that very same hair, a month from now, is going to be cut off at the end of his Nizirus. And yet we'll say, and then the Bryce's argument would still make sense. The Bryce's argument then would be Madach Nozir Bekever, where this very same hair that's on his head now is eventually going to be cut for the Glachas Tara, and yet the days of the basic forest don't count. How much more so the Nozir became a Metzora, where the hair that's now on his head is never even going to be cut for Nazirus at all, but it's going to be cut for Saras. How much more so those days don't count?
In other words,
so you can't. So you still. So well, not Tiglachas, not, well, right, but in other words, the point is that you could understand the word Tiglachas in the Braisa either way. You could understand it to mean a Tiglachas Tumah, which would imply this Nazir Tum, this Nazir Bekever does need to cut his hair before he starts his Nazirus. Or maybe not. Maybe Adarabah means doesn't it? He doesn't have to. And the Gemara says, Hachinam in the Stabra, okay, it's more logical to say, in fact, that the Braisa is talking about Tiglachas Tara. Because if you're going to say that the Braisa is making a distinction as far as Tiglachas Tumah, well, look, you make Chaluta, Mile Bori Tiglachas. I mean, so after all, after you make Chaluta, he's also going to have his hair cut. So what would you be making a comparison that one is going to get his hair cut and one is not? If both of them are, if the Metzora is going to get his hair cut, it's more logical to say that the distinction is the Nozir Bekever is not going to get his hair cut at all before he begins in the Zirus. He's just going to go in with the hair that was already on him, whereas the Nozir Metzora is going to have it cut off. And the Gemara says, no, loyti glachas in the Zirus katani. No, not necessarily, because the Braisa is not distinguishing between is he getting a haircut before his Nazirus or not. Is he getting a haircut having to do with Nazirus or not? The Metzora may be getting a haircut before he continues his Nazirus, but it's not a haircut that has anything to do with Nazirus. So yeah, okay, it's a haircut, but it has to do with Metzora, exactly. So, but still, the point is, you could still take the Braisa either way. That it could be telling us that the difference between them is that the Nozir Bekever is getting his haircut for the sake of Nazirus, whereas the Metzora is not getting it cut for the sake of Nazirus, just getting it cut for the sake of Saras. Or you could say that the Braisa is telling us that the Nozir Bekever is not getting it cut at all until the actual Nazirus is over, whereas the Nozir Metzora is. So you still can't prove one way or the other the question of does he have to cut his hair before his Nazirus starts. And we'll leave the continuation of the discussion for tomorrow, Mr. Shem.